Welcome to Lakers Carpool. My name is James Brooks. I'm your host. Thank you so much for joining me on today's episode. I'm recording this episode like 5.5 hours from game time of game four. So apologies to all of you who are listening that this got out a little late. I mean, honestly, having the 2 days in between games, the 2 day break in between games for the first three games was kind of nice in terms of getting podcast episodes out. So kind of struggling to get one out in between just with the baby and all that stuff. But anyways, we're here. We're talking about the Lakers. Lakers absolutely dominated the Memphis Grizzlies at home. Ended up with a winning score of 111-101. And this comes after we kind of talked about it a little bit in the last episode, but the words from Dylan Brooks poking the bear with LeBron and telling him that he's old, he doesn't respect anyone until they give him 40. Well, LeBron didn't give him 40, but the Lakers absolutely dominated. They won the first quarter. It was 35-9 after one quarter. Now, a lot of this is due to really good defense by the Lakers. Some of it is just terrible shot making by the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies looked absolutely frazzled. Shout out to all of you who are at Crypto.com Arena for that game. Just the crowd was stellar. I mean, I wasn't there, but it seemed like it was stellar from watching on TV and hearing it and all that stuff. Lakers looked like they had a ton of energy coming out the gate, which I think really has a lot to do with the energy that was just in that building. And I really do think that the Grizzlies were frazzled from just an offensive standpoint. Even wide open shots that they got, they were bricking bad. They were bad misses. Some air balls, some just clanking off the side of the rim, just bad misses by the Grizzlies. And the Lakers took advantage, going up 35-9. Now, they ended up having a tough second quarter and going into halftime only up by like 14 points. They got outscored 28-18 in the second quarter, came back, had another big third quarter, outscoring the Grizzlies 35-31. I mean, obviously you'd hope to have a little bit of a bigger margin there in between scores, but the 35 points was great. And then they got outscored again in the fourth quarter, 33-23. So you take that first quarter away and it's a much closer game than it seemed like, but the Lakers were in the driver's seat the entire game. I mean, they got up by 30 points at one point. They really held on to like a 16-20 point lead for the majority of the game is what it felt like. And then just the Grizzlies couldn't get below 10, like a 10 point deficit. It was never a single digit deficit for the Grizzlies, except for like early on in the game. And, you know, the Lakers kind of took their foot off the gas a little bit, which is unfortunate. And some of this was due to really good shot making by Ja Morant. So late in that fourth quarter, there was a point where Ja Morant had like 22 straight points for the Grizzlies. He ended up with 45 points on the night. The Lakers on their end got 31 points from Anthony Davis, 25 from LeBron James. And this game comes off the Dylan Brooks comments, right? Like Dylan Brooks saying that he doesn't respect LeBron until he gives him 40, or doesn't respect someone until they give him 40, all that stuff. And the Lakers came out and they seemed mad. They seemed like they wanted to win that game, and they came out and took care of business. And the thing is, like, with this game, that first quarter holding the Grizzlies to 9 points really paved the way for this game, because Lakers didn't have like an incredible shooting night. They shot 25% from three. They had a pretty bad shooting night from three. They shot 45% from the field, which is okay. They shot better from the field than the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies were 37%, but the Grizzlies shot better from three. Ja Morant just went off 6-for-10 from the 3-point line, which is pretty incredible considering that hand injury that he had, right? That he missed game two, came back for game three. We weren't sure if he was going to come back. He was a game time decision for game three again. And the Lakers seemed like they, you know, I mean, generally speaking, the defensive strategy against Ja Morant for the Lakers is to kind of play a drop coverage kind of defense, go underneath the screens, give him the longer jump shots or the three-pointers, and give him the three-pointers or the long jump shots and try to limit his ability to attack the basket. The Lakers did that pretty well to a degree, but it just didn't help that he was hitting his threes. To hit 6 threes on 10 attempts with a hand injury like he had in game one is pretty impressive. I got to give tip our hats to that performance from Ja Morant. But the Lakers were able to hold Jaren Jackson Jr. to only 13 points. He was 4 of 12 in the game. And obviously, like the dwindling amount of shot attempts for Jaren Jackson Jr., is because John Morant took 26 attempts, scored 45 points. But to hold their second best player to just 13 points is huge. I mean, it's kind of like the game that the Lakers had in game two where they held Anthony Davis to, I think, 13 points on like 14 attempts. So good job on the Lakers there from a defensive side of things. And then offensively, the Lakers just did a good job at kind of creating good offense from their good defense. Anthony Davis had another good defensive game again with 3 blocks, 2 steals, 17 rebounds, 31 points. I mentioned on Twitter, I tweeted out the video that had been going around on Twitter after game two where LeBron and Anthony Davis were in a press conference together. And LeBron was kind of talking about like how he was excited to play in front of the crowd. The first time kind of ever doing that was since he's been on the Lakers and all that stuff in the playoffs and all that. And Anthony Davis was just sitting there, just you could tell he was pissed. He was pissed about most likely his performance in game two. And then, of course, you know, I don't know if he knew at that time the things that had been said, like what Dylan Brooks had said and all that stuff. But just, I mean, just his performance alone warranted that kind of level of upsetness. And so Anthony Davis just sitting there just like, you know, frowning, mad, upset, arms crossed and whatever. And so I tweeted that video. I was like, AD's ready to go for 40 plus in game three. And he didn't quite give us 40, but I'll take the 31 and 17. 31 points, 17 rebounds, 4 offensive rebounds, 13 defensive rebounds, 8 of 10 from the free throw line. He hit a 3, which is nice to see. I miss seeing him, you know, missing him take more threes. He went 11 of 24 from the field. LeBron James himself went 10 for 20 from the field, put in 25 points, 9 rebounds. And just it's nice to get a good game from our stars. Rui Hachimura, he's been a big storyline for the Lakers this series so far. He put in 16 points off the bench, leading scorer off the bench. D'Angelo Russell had a bit of a comeback game with 17 points, 7 assists, 5 for 5 from the free throw line, hit a couple threes, 5 for 14 from the field. Austin Reeves came back. You know, he only had 13 points, but he shot well. You know, 5 for 10 from the field. He only hit 1 3, right? Our three-point shooting was pretty bad. But Rui hit 2. He went 6 for 10 from the field. And just ultimately, like, the Lakers just played an all-around good game. It's crazy because, like I was saying, like, I wouldn't even say that this was a great game by the Lakers. They had a great first quarter. They had a great first quarter, outscoring the Grizzlies 35-9. And, again, shout-out to Crypto for being loud, making the Grizzlies uncomfortable, all that stuff. Like, every time Dylan Brooks touched the ball, he got boos. Every time LeBron James was about to go one-on-one against Dylan Brooks, the crowd started going nuts. Like, that kind of energy was awesome. And really, I think, helped bring up the crowd. And I think in my last episode, I predicted that D'Angelo Russell would probably have a pretty good game in Game 3 because he just plays well in front of the home crowd typically. I mean, he had a bad game against the Timberwolves in the play-in game, but generally speaking, he feeds off the home crowd, and he loves playing in front of the home crowd and hyping up his teammates and all that stuff. So he came out and put in 17 points, plus 13 on the night. Austin Reeves, again, similar deal, plus 8, 13 points. And overall, like, just a good game, a solid game, right? Like, of course, you would like to be able to limit John Morant scoring 22 straight points for the Grizzlies, trying to get the ball out of his hands if possible. You know, in some ways, I get it, right? Like, you're going underneath screens. He's hitting threes. It's tough. You typically, like, I will take him taking the three as opposed to getting down and potentially drawing a foul, getting an and one, because that's those momentum shifts. I mean, I guess you get momentum from hitting the three, too. But the chances of him actually making the three seem like low. You know, it's a lower chance, lower probability. So I kind of get that defensive scheme. We had a little trouble still with the Malik Beasley rotation. He took 2 shots, went 0 for 2, didn't score, but he was a plus 9 on the game. So, like, while he was in, there was some positive stuff going on, which is good to see. Troy Brown Jr., 1 for 3, only had 2 points. Not so great. I mean, that Malik Beasley, Troy Brown Jr. situation is, like, it would be so good if they got going and started hitting shots and whatnot, earning a little bit more minutes. That would be huge for the Lakers. But they're, you know, kind of holding them back a little bit, which has been frustrating. Jared Vanderbilt He didn't score, but had a plus nine, right? Played defense on John Morant, all that kind of good stuff. Dennis Schroeder came off the bench, 3 for 6 from the field, hit a three, had 7 points. So the bench scoring has been a bit of a problem for the Lakers, right? If you take away how good Rui's been, the bench has been pretty bad. Troy Brown, Schroeder hasn't really had a great game. Beasley hasn't had a good game yet. So you take Rui off, take away his good statistics and contributions, and the Lakers bench is definitely struggling. So it was good to see Anthony Davis and LeBron step up, putting in 31 and 25 respectively, and then D'Angelo Russell as well, putting in 17. So overall, just a good game. Good to go up. Lakers up 2-1 in the series now. We play tonight, Monday night, game 4, with the chance really for the Lakers to put their feet on the Grizzlies' necks. And if the Lakers can win this game, they go up 3-1. Series will go back to Memphis. And obviously, it'd be great to win in 5 games. It can be tough to go back on the road and win a game again. So then you get pushed to 6. And then I think it comes back home to the Lakers for game 6. We have the home court advantage and all that stuff. So in one sense, right, like losing tonight would be huge, because you even up the series, it's 2-2. If you can go up 3-1, then you're just in the driver's seat. You're in a great situation. So a win tonight is huge. I mean, at this point with the Lakers, right, like the first two games are kind of feel out games, right? Obviously, you never want to lose a game in the playoffs, but it's going to happen. You're not going to sweep your way through and win the finals, right? Like, yes, teams have done it, but it's just not, you have to expect to lose some games, make adjustments and whatnot. So the first two games are kind of like the feel out games, right? And kind of make some adjustments based on whether you win or lose and all these things. And the Lakers have done good overall. Like, their defense has been pretty stellar in holding. They've held the Grizzlies to an average of 105 points a game in 3 games. And for today's NBA, that's pretty low, right? Like, the Lakers have scored 128, 111, and then they had literally their lowest scoring game of the season in game 2, where they only scored 93 points. So that's hopefully, but I like to see this as a fluke. That is a fluke game almost a little bit from the offensive standpoint. Lakers just couldn't really get things going. Anthony Davis wasn't very good, all that kind of stuff. So the Lakers have a chance tonight in game 4 to really put their feet on the necks of the Grizzlies and just really take over and go into the driver's seat in this series. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of adjustments the Grizzlies make. And, you know, if the Grizzlies just make a few more shots that were open, maybe it's a different game in game 3. Dylan Brooks got ejected late in the second quarter. In game 3, he was playing defense against LeBron, hit him in the crotch area. And it definitely was, I think, it just didn't make sense watching it, like watching the replays and stuff. Like, he was reaching in with like the opposite hand that you would normally reach in if you're trying to go for a steal. Connects with, you know, LeBron James' crown jewels, so to speak, and they gave him a flagrant 2 and he got ejected from the game. Which, it's funny because, like, I was thinking this and I definitely saw it all over Twitter, where it's like Dylan Brooks actually kind of helps the Lakers a little bit. He's by far their worst shooter, and he shoots a ton of shots. Like, in not even a half of basketball last night, or in game 3, he went 3 for 13 and 1 for 5 from 3. In not even a half of basketball. He played 19 minutes. He played 19 minutes and he took more shots than Jaren Jackson Jr. did the entire game. So you have someone like that on their team, and for whatever reason, he takes the green light, he shoots. Whether or not they give him the green light, he's creating one for himself. And in that sense, it helps the Lakers a lot, right? Like, you have the offensive side where he just isn't that great. I mean, he hit some big threes in game 2 that really sealed the game for them, which was unfortunate. But he's not a good shooter. And then on the defensive side, like, yeah, he's a good defensive player, but I feel like his presence just annoys the Lakers to the point where they want to just destroy him, right? LeBron wants to take him, and he can. Anthony Davis can destroy him, right? Like, I feel like his presence just makes the Lakers want to play even harder, which, unfortunately, this team kind of needs. They kind of need someone out there motivating them, because they do things like what they did in game 3, where they get up to a big lead, get up to a 30-point lead, take the foot off the gas, kind of like try and waste clock or whatever, and lose their rhythm, lose their momentum. John Morant goes down and hits a couple threes, whatever, and then before you know it, a 21-point lead is a 10-point lead. And it's just dangerous to do that in the playoffs. You know, you just never know what's going to happen and all that stuff. So in some ways, Dylan Brooks getting ejected in game three kind of hurt the Lakers almost, I feel like. But so he'll be back tonight in game four. He didn't get a suspension or anything like that. So he'll be back. So, you know, hopefully his presence helps the Lakers. After game three, he went to the reporters basically saying, like, I ain't saying nothing. And it's just like ultimate front running from Dylan Brooks. Like, you win a game, you win one game, and he's talking all this crap about LeBron and all these things, saying how he doesn't respect anyone until they give him 40, blah, blah, blah. And then you go out, have a terrible game, a terrible half, not even half, but a terrible half, 3-for-13, 1-for-5, -6, 7 points. And after the game, you're like, nah, I'm not saying anything. I mean, he learned his lesson, I think. Before the game, during warmups, LeBron went up to him and said something to him, kind of in private. I mean, we don't know what he said in that sense. He did it in public because we all saw it. But he said something to him, and I'm curious what it was. I feel like it was probably something along the lines of, you know, you're going to learn your lesson kind of thing. Like a don't talk unless you can back it up, whatever. Something along those lines, I feel like, is what he was, what the message was from LeBron to Dylan Brooks. And the Lakers made him pay. To come out in the first quarter after all the talk from the Grizzlies, well, Dylan Brooks specifically, and Desmond Bane's been saying some stuff, right? He had some words about Rui Hachimura after game one, saying like, oh, that's probably the best game he's ever had, and he needs to, we'll see if he can do it for seven games, you know, blah, 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 whatever. So, you know, the Grizzlies like to talk. And the Lakers made him pay. They went up 35-9 in the first quarter, and that really just set the tone for the game. Even though the Lakers let the Grizzlies in a little bit and the game got a little closer than it probably should have been, the Lakers still did what needed to be done to win the game. They won the game by 10 points. The game never got below 10 points late in the game and whatever. So they did what needed to get done. They taught the Grizzlies a little bit of a lesson, and that's probably why Dylan Brooks is like, yeah, I'm not saying anything. I don't have anything to say. And it was dumb of me to say something in the first place. Now, I don't know if he has that self-awareness, because look at the way he shoots, right? Obviously, someone that shoots the way he shoots doesn't have great self-awareness. But it is what it is. So at game four, I'm definitely curious to see what the Grizzlies do to try and stop the Lakers. They'll probably just do what they tried to do in game two, which in theory is what they probably were trying to do in game three. But like, get the ball out of Anthony Davis' hands. Don't let Anthony Davis shoot the ball. That's how you beat this Lakers team. Make Anthony Davis uncomfortable and don't let him shoot the ball. Easier said than done, but the Grizzlies did it pretty effectively in game two. So I'm probably expecting them to try and throw a bunch of double teams at Anthony Davis, and the Lakers just need to be ready for it. They need to get Anthony Davis the ball early in the shot clock. I mentioned this in my last episode. Get Anthony Davis the ball early in the shot clock. Don't give him the ball when there's 9 seconds left, and by the time there's a double on him, there's, you know, 6 seconds. He has to make a quick decision. Give him the ball with, like, you know, 16 seconds left on the shot clock. Allow time for guys to cut and move, him to assess the defense, see what's going on, and make a better decision to not be rushed while being double teamed, right? So from a Lakers standpoint, that's how you beat that. Now, They had a few possessions in the last game where they really just kind of let the shot clock run. This was especially late in the game where it seemed like they were just trying to, like, run clock out. And they'd run the clock out, it would get late into the shot clock, they would jack up a bad shot, and the Grizzlies were going down and John Morant was hitting threes and stuff. So you got to, like, just keep attacking. Just attack the basket when there's, like, 10 seconds on the shot clock. As long as there's still time on the clock, right? As long as it's not like the shot clock is off or something, like, attack the basket with like 10 seconds on the shot clock and give yourself a chance to adjust as you need to, depending on how the Grizzlies defense defends you. So I expect another big game from John Morant. He's going to try and take over. The Lakers just got to keep doing what they're doing against Jaren Jackson Jr. Tillman, who had a huge game in game two, was basically non-existent in game three. I mean, he had 12 rebounds, so he did do well rebounding, but he was 3 for 5. I mean, good shooting percentage, but only 5 shots, had 6 points on the night. You know, the Grizzlies, if they're going to win, they need someone other than Ja Morant to step up. Like, the Lakers can, you can kind of let Ja Morant score 50 points as long as the rest of the team isn't scoring a bunch of points also, right? You can't have a 50-point Ja Morant game, 20-point Desmond Bane game, and 20-point Jaren Jackson Jr. game. But you can do the 45 points for Ja Morant, you know, 18 points for Desmond Bane, 13 points for Jaren Jackson Jr. Like, that's perfectly fine. So it'll be interesting from an offensive standpoint what the Grizzlies try and do. Like I mentioned, they did miss a ton of shots in the first quarter. They only shot 33% from three, which, again, was better than the Lakers, but they didn't shoot too well, right? So you see a few more shots fall for the Grizzlies. Maybe they get a little more confidence and blah, blah, blah. Things just can snowball to that effect. So the Lakers really got to keep up the defensive intensity, get a hand, you know, close out, get a hand on guys like Luke Kennard, Desmond Bane, Aldama. Like, they're better three-point shooters, and try and just keep them. And then Anthony Davis just owning the boards is huge, right? Like, getting 17 rebounds is massive. If he can have just any, you know, a 25-plus point, 12-plus, 13-plus rebounding night, I feel like that's pretty good from Anthony Davis. Obviously, like, of course, I'd love to have another 31-point, 17-rebound night, which he's definitely capable of. So we'll see what happens. I mean, LeBron has been steady and good, and right, 25 points last or in game three, 28 points in game two, right? He's been consistent. Rui has been really consistent off the bench, he's been a lifesaver for the bench, like I mentioned earlier. So got to get him some touches. And then I kind of expect a big Austin Reeves game in game four. He had a big game in game one. He's been kind of held down in games two and game three. I kind of, like, would love to see a big Austin Reeves game, maybe, like, 18 points. D'Angelo Russell, obviously, would love to see him, you know, put in 15-plus points. So, the Lakers, really, their defense has been good, right? Like I mentioned, they've been holding the Grizzlies to an average of 105 points a game in the first three games. And so, it's really just a matter of, like, getting the offense going, keeping momentum. If you have Anthony Davis and LeBron James, run pick and rolls. Run pick and rolls with LeBron James and Anthony Davis. Run pick and rolls with D'Angelo Russell and Anthony Davis. Run pick and rolls with D'Angelo Russell and LeBron James. Run pick and rolls with Austin Reeves and Anthony Davis. Austin Reeves, LeBron James, right? They can kind of be interchangeable, especially depending on who's in the game at the time for the Grizzlies, right? And just really keep them moving, keep them, right? LeBron used to be like a big matchup hunter where you would set a screen and try and get the opponent's worst defender covering LeBron. LeBron hasn't really been doing that in this playoffs as much. I don't know if it's because the Grizzlies have better on-ball defenders or if it's more just because LeBron James is, you know, still feeling the consequences of the foot injury where he's not feeling as strong as, you know, wanting to attack the basket nonstop and whatnot. But we haven't been seeing as much of the matchup hunting as we have in years past. Even like 2 years ago with him on the Lakers, he did it a ton. And so in that sense, you got to just create movement, pick and rolls, give and goes, cutting to the basket, drive and kick, all that kind of stuff. And when you have Austin Reeves and Anthony Davis and D'Angelo Russell, guys that can handle the ball, the Lakers did this really well in game three of giving Anthony Davis the ball in movement, right? Like having Anthony Davis come across and get a handoff on the move, get downhill, attack the basket. It's almost impossible to not foul Anthony Davis when he is going downhill at the basket. No matter who you are, Jaren Jackson Jr. got Defensive Player of the Year. He had some good stops on Anthony Davis in game three, but you get Anthony Davis like downhill dribbling the ball towards the rim, and he is almost impossible to stop. So get him the ball in movement. Just move in general. Like that's obviously like that's how you play basketball. You want to be moving, you want to be constant motion, you want to make your defenders have to switch or have to communicate and get them caught in the middle of like trying to guard LeBron James and Anthony Davis. So I mean, really, that's the key, is kind of just more of the same from a defensive standpoint. keep the Grizzlies scoring low. Game four might be a barn burner in the sense of, like, it might be Ja Morant just attacking the basket, scoring a ton of points, and it might be, you know, LeBron James or Anthony Davis scoring a ton of points or whatever. But whatever we got to do to get the ball out of Ja Morant's hands is going to be huge. So, some people expect this to be a high-scoring game in Game 4. I kind of think if the Lakers can keep doing what they've been doing, obviously Ja Morant wasn't there for Game 2, so maybe the numbers are a little skewed down for the Grizzlies. But keep the ball out of Ja Morant's hands, and maybe even, again, like I said, you can let Ja Morant score 45 points, but keep the other people uncomfortable. Don't let the other people score on the Grizzlies. And maybe you get a chance to hold the Grizzlies to, you know, around that 100 to 105 points in a game. And then if you get the offense rolling, the Lakers are hard to stop. So looking forward to Game 4, seeing if the Lakers can go up 3-1 in the series. If they can, that'd be huge. Obviously, this is a big must, you know, this is a must-win game in the sense of, like, if the Lakers let the series get tied 2-2, going back to Memphis, it's really anyone's series. But if the Lakers can go back to Memphis up 3-1, it's really only a matter of time, whether it's Game 5 or Game 6, that they end the series. So looking forward to Game 4. Thank you all for listening. Go Lakers. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Lakers Carpool. If you enjoyed the episode, please rate and review on Apple Podcasts and share it on social media with your friends. You can find the podcast on Anchor, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or most places where you listen to podcasts. Again, thank you so much for listening, and go Lakers.
2.1 seconds remaining. Denver a foul to give. Jokic trying to disrupt Rondo. He puts it in. Here's Davis, 4-3 in the win. Oh!